Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 23, studying Matthew chapter 23. As we get started, these reminders: for all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. There you will find links to everything that we offer: audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to our IGH 260 broadcasts, and links to our Bible study courses. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. We've recently posted a new resource to our site. It's a sermon delivered by John William McGarvey on July 2, 1893. The premise, in McGarvey's own words, "Imagine that we have never heard the word baptism. If you have never fully studied what the Bible teaches about baptism, then you need to read and or hear McGarvey's sermon. If you have heard about baptism all of your life, if you have your mind made up about the matter, and if you are convinced that you know everything that the Bible teaches about it, then you still need to read and or hear McGarvey's sermon. To do so, go to our free page at internationalgospelhour.com. That's internationalgospelhour.com/free, and click on the photo link of McGarvey in the top row. You can also find that link at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. Let's return to our study of Matthew chapter 23. In our last program, we noted that though the first verse of Matthew 23 tells us that Jesus was speaking to the multitudes and to his disciples, that some of the scribes and the Pharisees were present in the crowds. Starting in the second verse, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples about the scribes and the Pharisees. But starting in Matthew 23, verse 13, Jesus spoke directly to those religious leaders and not just about them. Why did Jesus criticize these religious leaders so sharply? And why did Jesus condemn and censure them in front of others? Consider this. Jesus, as the Son of God, spent all of his earthly ministry convincing his listeners not only that he was God's singular Son, but that he, Jesus, was the singular means to get to God. John presents that most succinctly in these words: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." John 14, verse 6. Jesus was full of grace and truth, John 1:14, and grace and truth came through him, John 1, verse 17. It was only through Jesus that anyone had access to the Father by means of the Spirit, the thought that we see in Ephesians 2, verse 18, as it corroborates the teaching of John 14:6. Jesus' criticisms of the scribes and the Pharisees was so intense because their teachings not only conflicted with the Father's, the Son's, and the Spirit's, but also because those conflicting teachings were heard by many, followed by many, and thus, because people believed what these men said, those teachings condemned many. What the scribes and the Pharisees taught not only condemned themselves, but, as Jesus will very bluntly state later in the chapter, those who heard, those who believed, and those who followed after the scribes and the Pharisees and their teachings became twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Matthew 23, starting in verse 13. There's much more to be said about Jesus' criticism, and as we work our way through Matthew 23, a lot of that will come to light. The first 12 verses of the chapter warn the multitudes and Jesus' disciples about the specific customs of the scribes and Pharisees, customs and traditions which indicate that the principles and reasons that lay behind what they did were, in themselves, just as flawed as their traditions. Obviously, as we noted earlier, Jesus knew that he was not only the singular Son of God, but also the singular way to God. Knowing that, Jesus did not want the multitudes or his disciples to buy into the teachings of the scribes or the Pharisees. What exactly was Jesus' concern? Starting in verse 2, Jesus quickly ran through a series of warnings about the scribes and Pharisees, explicitly citing their behaviors that were out of sync with God's will. Jesus' first concern? The scribes and the Pharisees decided to sit in Moses' seat. We have seen multiple instances in Matthew where Jesus' disciples expressed an inordinate desire for authoritative positions in the coming kingdom of God. Jesus, as he sought to correct their self-seeking requests, always emphasized the need to be last rather than first, the need to serve rather than be served, and the ongoing need to put others first in all things. The principles that Jesus taught his disciples were also taught to the multitudes. That started at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, something clearly expressed in the Beatitudes. The desire to promote oneself, here summarized as sitting in Moses' seat, violated what God and what Jesus wanted their kingdom disciples to be. Indeed, it went against the very nature of the Godhead. Though seemingly incongruent from one perspective, it makes perfect sense from another. The Creator God and the Savior Jesus, and those roles and descriptions are, at different times, applied to both, God and Jesus are, at their very core, intrinsically servants. They love and they serve each other. Principles only hinted at in Jesus' prayer in John 17, starting in verse 20. But as the real Creator, and as the potential Savior of all humanity, they also serve us. They serve us providentially. Food, clothing, shelter, the things that we often worry about, all taken care of by God. Matthew 6, 32 and following. They served miraculously. Miracles were more than just demonstrations of God's power. They were demonstrations of God's grace and of God's mercy. They serve us revelationally. Everything that we need to know redemptively resides in the revealed Word, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. They direct angels to be our servants, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And they teach and they ask that we serve each other, John 13. Everything about Jesus' role as prophet, priest, king, and perfect sacrifice demonstrates his willingness to serve. The scribes and the Pharisees, however, could not be legitimately characterized as servants. As a whole, they sought and they worked hard to be recognized. As the rest of this chapter tells us, they excelled in telling others what to do, but were themselves unwilling even to lift a finger to do what they bound on others. Though Moses was not at all like that, sitting in Moses' seat was a way of saying that they sought Moses' rank as a revelator. What Moses said came from God. What Moses said continued to be binding even after Moses died. That's clear when we read through the book of Joshua. There was a continuity of divine authority that shifted from Moses to Joshua. God promised to be with Joshua as he was with Moses, thus continuing the divinely appointed leadership of the nascent nation of Israel. But that's not what the scribes and the Pharisees believed regarding Moses. Let's change that to, that's not all that they believed. Yes, they believed that Moses was a revelator. And yes, they believed that what Moses said was divine in origin. And they would also agree that Joshua was the divinely chosen successor to Moses. You might be thinking, if they believed all of these things, all of them true, where's the problem? That's a great question. Not everything that the scribes and the Pharisees taught was wrong. Not everything that they did was wrong. But, as we will presently explain, some of what they believed and some of what they taught, some very key things were definitely lacking in divine authority, and it had everything to do with that subject, authority. The series of three parables that Matthew includes in Matthew 21 and Matthew 22 were presented by Jesus in response to the challenge by the chief priests and elders about his, that is, Jesus' authority. Why were they so concerned about the source of Jesus' authority? Because it challenged what they perceived was their own divinely sanctioned authority. According to their traditions, two trajectories come into play that could ostensibly establish their authority. First, as we have explained in prior studies, though they believe that God revealed the law through Moses, they also believe that God revealed other things to Moses, things that were not written in the Torah, but only passed down orally through the generations. The assumption was that at some point in the history of Israel, these orally transmitted revelations were written and codified, becoming what would eventually be known as the Talmud, the collection of these authoritative writings called the Mishnah, and their associated commentaries called the Gemara. Though the final versions of these works were not complete until centuries after the time of Christ, the rabbinic tradition maintains that all of this material was well established, well known, well studied, and consistently passed along through the centuries from the time of Moses until the time that they were written. It would be a mistake to assume that everything about the traditions of the religious leaders that Jesus criticized earlier in Matthew 12 and Matthew 15 were coextensive or identical with these later writings, but they are definitely related. And second, there was the belief that the authority that was Moses, then later Joshua's, then later the prophets, would eventually land in the hands of the elders of Judaism, who would continue those oral traditions. The scribes and the Pharisees assumed that they stood in that line of tradition, and thus they assumed that their authority was on par with Moses. The expression then, sit in Moses' seat, was not just that they sat in some special chair, but that they occupied the same position as did Moses, that they had the same authority as did Moses. The point? They viewed themselves as the successors of Moses. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 23. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.